Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 18 in the Red Pew Bible. This is page 1050. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 18. Just to set the context for this, this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry when he had headed to Jerusalem. He goes in for what we know as Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and people are shouting, Hosanna. And so that day he goes out and stays outside the city. And then what we see is he's coming back to the city the following day after Palm Sunday, basically, and his triumphal entry. So he's coming back toward the city, and he has this encounter with a fig tree. So we pick it up at Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. In the morning, as he, Jesus, was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." This is the word of the Lord. And so, as I said in our introduction, we're going back and looking at the accounts of what was going on in the early church in the midst of all the events going on in our world today, not totally unlike what the early church was dealing with in terms of persecution, hardship, calamities, confusion, corruption, all of those things. So we're looking at what the early church was doing so that we would apply that to what we as the church today would be doing. And so, as I said in the introduction, what we witness is this fulfillment of the promise that in this day of Pentecost, that God would pour out his spirit upon all people. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, also the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus when he told the disciples, "Wait until you receive power from on high." And so this was it, what is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Not invisibly, but visibly, as tongues of fire. That's an amazing thing. A sound of the wind. So there was sound. There was visibly signs of the fact of this Holy Spirit falling upon them. Not only were those visible sounds, but in fact there were visible sounds to the people who were around them. We're told that the people were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. What an amazing thing that is. We're also told that they looked at their behavior and they thought, "Oh, these guys are drunk. They're just filled with new wine, which is fermented." What a powerful witness I had in my own life along these lines when I was going back years ago in the ministry exploration process where you know, say, "Oh, I think I called to ministry." And so they go through, it was actually a three-year process. And so we had someone else I knew that was going through that process as well. Very devout guy. And you have to go through all these interviews. And so the week before his interview with the ordination committee, he went on a Curcio weekend. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was on fire for the Lord. And that was how he went to his interview for ministry exploration. And he was rejected. They couldn't handle it. It's like, what's with this guy? Full of the Holy Spirit. That's my interpretation now. Maybe there's other things, but great otherwise, a great guy, but he was so full of the Holy Spirit, so enthusiastic, so on fire for Jesus. And he goes before this committee, and they thought, along the lines of, this guy must be drunk. Must be something wrong with him. Because people in the church aren't like that today. Right? Right? And so he was rejected. And so, yeah, they thought these people were drunk. We're told, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men dream dreams. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below. These are visible signs of the power of the Holy Spirit, not only in a person and through a person, but in fact in all of creation. And so when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there is visible evidence, most times we're told, visible evidence of that happening. So that's our point for today. What about those visible manifestations? Because Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To each and every one of us is given some kind of a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're told in Mark chapter 16 some specifics about that. Again, this is the long ending of Mark, but we heard a few weeks ago, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's what we just heard. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. These are signs of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the believers of Jesus. And then we saw in our reading today this example that Jesus gives of cursing this fig tree. Jesus then says to them, because they're like, well, how did this happen? He just cursed the fig tree and it withered up. And he says to them, think of this, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. Isn't that an amazing statement? And here is perhaps one of the greatest stumbling blocks, I believe, in all of Christianity. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. How many people do we know, and how many times have we ourselves had our faith challenged because we've asked for something in prayer, thinking it was in faith, and our prayers seemingly were not answered? What an obstacle this can be. And yet there is faith, faith that moves mountains, faith that in fact brings about the miracles of God. Here's an example, a true story this is. In this example written, this was a teacher who was a principal of a Christian elementary school in Hawaii. And one of the first grade teachers had to be, removed. And so this is the account of this principal that now goes in and has to substitute for this first grade teacher. It says, Monday morning arrived. I also arrived at work, going into the mobile unit out back of the school located on a beautiful piece of property overlooking the ocean. I opened the door of the classroom. God led me to say anything other than, good morning, are there any prayer requests? Again, this is a Christian school. One of the 14 expected students was missing. The children wanted to pray for her healing and return to the classroom. So one of the classmates is sick. I asked them to come to the front of the classroom, join hands, and make a prayer circle. I prayed basically, Lord, if it be your will, please heal Debbie and bring her back in class soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Good prayer, right? Good prayer. The children were then asked to return to their seats and to take out their Bibles. They did so slowly and with occasional looks at me, which I perceived as less than accepting. I was at the teacher's desk looking at the dismissed teacher's plans when all of a sudden I was confronted by a 6-year-old boy, this is first grade, who said, excuse me, Miss Karen, but you did not pray right. What? It's a first grader. Not only was he standing there boldly accusing me of my error-filled prayer, but he had with him his Bible opened to a psalm. He was pointing at Psalm 103, which we just heard, respectfully asking me to reach out to read such out loud, not to him, but to read it to God. I looked at the verse and noticed it said God does forgive our sins and he does heal all our diseases. Again, I was then asked by this young man, to read it out loud. So I did. His response was then to ask me what the specific word all meant. In my brilliance as a language arts teacher, I replied, well, all means all. The child simply stared at me incredulously and bravely asked if he could please pray for his infirmed friend who had pneumonia and was hospitalized in intensive care. Aware that his 12 classmates were also desiring for this to take place, I wisely said, yes, do pray your prayer, Lee, for Debbie. What happened next defied all logic, reason, and experience. The room was flooded with the sweetest sounds. I realized these sounds were coming from the children themselves as Lee was lifting up his Bible, still open to Psalm 103, speaking to God in the very verse he had me read. I watched as Lee seemed to be reading the Bible to God, its author, and basically telling him what that particular psalm said. Meanwhile, the voices of his classmates were speaking praises to God. A few of them were singing and speaking in tongues, language unknown to me. First graders. My eyes were closed, and I honestly thought I had gone to heaven. It was beautiful. As Lee concluded his prayer, I opened my eyes to watch as the children returned to their seats and did their assigned lesson in their Bible workbook. I wonder what the author of those textbooks would have thought if they had been privileged to observe what I did. Tuesday morning, the next morning, I was in my office taking care of some phone calls when who should walk in but Debbie and her parents. The very next day. They were so excited because the previous afternoon, Debbie had miraculously been healed from every aspect of the pneumonia that had attacked her body. She had been released from the hospital and given permission to return to school. I cannot even begin to describe the joy that her classmates exuded when I walked into the classroom with Debbie. But what occurred next was for me even more profound. The children almost simultaneously dropped to their knees and began to thank God in English for what he had done. I was an eyewitness to several other miracles that occurred as a result of the faith of these children. This is from a book, Potpourri of Faith. Karen Joy Nania. And Karen is sitting right here. Karen is the one who experienced this. Karen, can you tell us what it was like?
It's hard to put into words. The presence of God was so powerful that his love just exuded from the children in their faith, their trust in him. And what his word says, I'll never forget how they Lee just held that Bible up. And I was thinking, honestly, God can read, Lee. Which is a missionary school. Somehow they knew that,
40 years ago.
So
wow.
I have been
what an experience.
So touched by those children, and there is not a day that I don't thank God for Lee and pray for him.
Well, imagine what he's doing these days.
I hope it inspires you.
In his 40s, imagine the kind of life he must have had. Yeah, the witness of children, the faith of children, to believe. And this teacher was one of those charismatics.
What happened to the guy that didn't get accepted into ministry?
He was not accepted in ministry, yeah.
Did he lose his faith?
No, he didn't lose his faith. Oh, no, he was on fire. But he was not accepted, at least that year, not accepted into ordained ministry. Yeah. When I finished this story about these children and their faith, in my adulthood, my next response was, oh yeah, but what's going to happen the next time they pray and God doesn't answer their prayer? Right? Isn't that what we adults say? Isn't that what it's like? Well, yeah, I bet. Okay, so he did it that one time. But what about when prayers are not answered? We believe in Jesus, we believe in the Word of God, but our prayers are not answered. Well, the Bible also gives us examples of that. You remember the story of Trophimus? Everybody remembers Trophimus, right? Trophimus? No, not Trophimus. Trophimus, I didn't remember it either. I knew it was one of Paul's friends, but his name is Trophimus, and it's at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy. He just casually says, by the way, we left Trophimus in Miletus because he was ill. So they left him instead of going on. And I thought to me, well, Paul, the great healer. And I'm sure they must have prayed for Trophimus, but they had to leave him behind because he was sick. Paul himself had this thorn in his flesh. Remember that? Now, the difference with Paul there is that God revealed to him why he had it and why he didn't take it away. He says, is this to keep you humble? To keep you humble. So many times where prayers are not answered and God doesn't give us the reason. And that's even harder. That's even harder. Faith has a bearing on the answer of prayer. Faith has a bearing. That's what Jesus said. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. What is that faith? What does it look like? Well, we saw it in this story of these young first grade children. And yet faith is important. As we saw when Jesus went to Nazareth, it says he could not do many mighty works there because of their lack of faith. They simply didn't believe. Now, this is a challenge, I believe, for us, and yet I do believe it's a matter of perspective that prayers are not answered because we tend to focus on the prayers that are not answered. Let me ask you this. What if I were to tell you that when I go in my backyard and I dig a hole, I dig another hole, and I dig holes in my backyard, and every fourth hole that I dig in my backyard, I find a nugget of gold. Now, if I told you that, what would you think? You said, man, get out there and start digging, right? Dig more holes. But every three holes I dig, nothing's there. And I said, yeah, but what about the fourth hole? Isn't that how we think of prayer? It's like, wasn't answered. The amazing thing is not that prayers are not answered. The amazing thing is that some prayers are answered. I heard someone once, I think, put it very eloquently. I simply ask the great healer to heal people, and sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. Not always. Why? I don't know. Do we expect to always understand the mind of God? Of course not, because then we would be God, right? And we know not. He is all-knowing. So we have to trust in him when that prayer is not answered and we don't know why. That's an important kind of faith. In fact, I've shared with you before that this comes out of a daily meditation, that there are three kinds of faith. There is seeing faith. We see something happening like, oh yeah, I believe, I saw it happen. There is the not seeing faith. Like, remember Thomas, when Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Thomas didn't see, and he said, I don't believe until I can put my hands in his side. But the third and deepest kind of faith is conflicting faith. When the evidence is conflicting or going against what we believe. And I believe that's the hardest of what we have to deal with as Christians, particularly in this world. There is so much evidence out there that God has abandoned us, that God has forgotten us, that God is not all sovereign, that God is asleep in the back of the boat. And he doesn't realize the storm is raging all around us. That's the kind of faith we want. And that's the kind of faith we need in the church today. We need that kind of faith because that's the faith that moves mountains. That's the faith that brings healing for us and for those around us. That's the kind of faith which answers our prayers. That believing, solid, deep, unquestioning faith in God that he is sovereign and he does love us. How do we get that kind of faith? It's not a matter of working hard. I keep saying this. It's a matter of surrendering and asking. Lord, please give us this kind of deep faith that we can believe despite our doubts. Remember the guy before Jesus? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a good place to be. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We need that faith today because we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit working today. And that's where that work comes from, is faith in the Holy Spirit and in those gifts being poured out. Remember, the Bible says to each and every one of us is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And remember why each of us is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. For our sake? No, it's for building up the body. For building up the church. Each of us is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for building up the church. It would be embarrassing, I suspect, for many of us to look back, and that's why I think many times it's awkward for people to think about, well, do I have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life? And if we were to go around, you know, and ask everybody, by the way, what's your spiritual gift? And how is it being manifested? Is it visible to people around you that the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you? I believe it's not only possible for all of us to have that kind of faith, but I believe it's God's intention that we have that kind of faith. It comes from asking. Seek and you will find, ask and you shall receive, right? Those verbs are continuous verbs. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And God will give us that faith to believe. Faith that will move mountains. Faith that will heal. Faith that will answer prayers. Miracles, signs, wonders. That was the promise of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And so I went to Jesus this week. I feel kind of like they're criticizing Beth Moore, you know, stand up here and say, yeah, Jesus spoke to me this week. Now, it wasn't audible words, no, but I go to Jesus, Lord, what do you want me to tell your people? He said, tell them this. Miracles are possible because it's not about us, it's about him. Miracles are possible, and I believe to be expected, because it's not about us. It's about him, about the Holy Spirit. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need that power today. The kingdom of God. Do you realize what this means? The kingdom of God is within us. The power is there. We need to ask for the release of it, the filling of it. That there will be signs and manifestations because the church needs it today. The world needs it today. We are the light of the world. We need to shine. And so truly, the best is yet to come as the Holy Spirit is poured out. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we need this fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We need revival in our land, Lord. We thank you for the witnesses and the prophecies that were given yesterday. Lord, we pray that in this church we would see an outpouring, a revival of manifestations of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and through us for the building up of this body, for the building up of this community, for the building up of our state and our country, to bring people to the saving grace and knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we ask for this kind of faith, this deep, abiding, unquestioning faith in you, in your word, in your Holy Spirit. And we ask for it in the name of He who made it all possible, Jesus our Lord. Amen.